Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Thanks to VideoDoc. See a GP online anytime for prescriptions and sick notes. Download the VideoDoc app. VideoDoc.ie.
This is Ciara and this is a Lunchtime Live podcast from News Talk. If you like what you hear, don't forget that you can subscribe via the app or on iTunes and make sure to check us out at newstalk.com/lunchtimelive. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for that, Stephanie. And Will, you are listening to Lunchtime Live with Ciara here on News Talk. We want to hear from you on all the things we're going to be discussing today. We are going to be talking about the documentary shortly, Leaving Neverland, and what people, what fans make of it now. Do you kind of think differently of Michael Jackson? Do you have a new opinion on him? What do you think about people playing his music? His music is being pulled from radio stations around the world. I'd love to know what you think about that. We're also going to be talking to Dervla MacDonald a little bit later on about Fertility Shock, her new documentary looking at Ireland's journey and indeed the global issue of fertility. Fertility rates are declining around the world. Male fertility, female fertility, lots of things influencing that. And I'd love to hear from people who are on that journey. It's a really tough road and we know it. But there are also huge implications for our population and for our economy and for our demographics, all of that. We want to hear about that. And I want to know what you think about social justice warriors as well. You know, people sometimes talk about them as the woke generation and a lot of people think it's a wonderful thing. But is there something in virtue signalling, I suppose, and what drives it? I'm going to be talking to a satirist about that a little bit later on. Of course, today is day 66. Am I right? I keep getting them wrong at this point. Day 66, two-thirds of the way through 100 days of walking. And so many of you still walking with me. And I am delighted to have you along. And do keep your photos coming into the hashtag. And of course, tomorrow's unscripted, lads. So don't leave me hanging. What do you want us on Lunchtime Live to talk about tomorrow? What do you want us, what do you want us to say? What do you want us to be dealing with in terms of our running order? You, the listeners, are the guests. You, the listeners, set the agenda. So we only talk on Friday about what you have decided we should talk about and get in touch with us about all of those things. We want to hear from you. If you want to join in the conversation here on air, you can call Ciara 1890 453 106. You can text us as well at 53106 at a cost of 30 cent. You can tweet us at Lunchtime Live NT or at Ciara Kelly Doc, or you can email us at lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. Now, the second episode of the documentary about allegations against Michael Jackson accusing him of child sexual abuse airs tonight. Or was it last night? Last night, on Channel 4. Wade Robson and James Safechuck claim in HBO's Leaving Neverland that Jackson abused them when they were aged 7 and 10, respectively. Radio stations now in Australia, in Canada and in New Zealand have become the latest to ban Michael Jackson from their airways. His music has now fallen off. Ryan Tubridy said earlier that he won't be playing him anymore. So are we seeing him viewed in a whole new light? And I want to know what you think, really. Do you? I was listening to him in the Hairdressers last week and I heard some of his great, great songs being played. And I went, I'm starting to feel uncomfortable listening to this. I don't know what to make of it, but I want to know what people think. But the Michael Jackson estate have denied wrongdoing and have filed a $100 million lawsuit against HBO. But we want to know what people think. Just take a little listen to this. This is a clip from what was aired last night.
Me and Mom slept in the living room. Wade slept in the room with Michael.
Wade and Michael would stay in the room a lot, just playing, I presume playing games, and they did a lot of that sort of thing, watching cartoons. He was a big cartoon watcher.
Once the abuse started, within that first week, you know, every night that I was with him, there was abuse while my mother was, you know, next door. You know, he started talking about how much he loves me. What this is us, how we show our love for each other. The other people are ignorant and they're stupid and they'd never understand. If they ever found out what we were doing about this sexual stuff, that he and I'd be pulled apart and that we'd never be able to see each other.
Okay, that was Wade Robson. And I think Leaving Neverland is a hard watch. The men, they seem very credible to me, and listening to their descriptions, It's very difficult. It's actually quite a challenging documentary. And Wade Robinson is one of the men who features in the documentary Leaving Neverland and is one of the two who spoke out. And the second part of that is going to air tonight at 9 p.m. on Channel 4. That was from last night. We want to know what you think. Have you changed your view? Michael Jackson, one of the biggest global superstars of all time. I know a huge amount of Irish fans here. Many people went to see him when he played here. So many people will have Bad or Off the Wall or Thriller in their record collections or their CD collections or on their Spotify playlist. People, you know, he was massive. He was absolutely huge. But do we look at him through this prism now? What do people think? Mally, one of our listeners, is on the line. Mally Coyne. Mally, you met Michael Jackson, in fact, which is unusual in and of itself, because you visited Neverland back when you were only 13. Tell me about that.
It was absolutely amazing. I loved Michael Jackson, and I still do. I suppose I did go to his concert in 1988 in Cork, and then I was living in LA at the time, and my mother came to collect me from school one Friday and said, "Do you want to spend Monday in Michael Jackson's house?" And I was just, I couldn't believe it. As a 13-year-old, we were presenting him with a Children of the World Music Video Award, and it was a video broadcast, and they needed children of a certain age to present him with the award, and then we got to spend the day in his house. So we got a bus from LA to Neverland, which is about an hour, a bit away, or an hour and a half, and we met him, and we spent the whole day with him, going through the different rooms in his house, playing video games. He brought us on his golf cart around his estate. Yeah. By then, all of those things, like the cinema was there, but all those attractions weren't actually there, like the fun fair wasn't there yet. But I suppose I was struck by the fact that he was so childish in his, in the way that he kind of interacted with us. It didn't feel like being with an adult.
Okay. Yeah, but in fairness, I think that's some of what both James and Wade would have said too, that he was like their peer almost in a way, even though he was a superstar and an adult. He wasn't a child. Is it not a bit peculiar that he was acting like he was one?
The way I kind of thought was that he literally, I'm just thinking back to his early start, and he literally went from, he didn't really have a childhood. And I'm a clinical child psychologist. I work with children who've been abused, and it's the worst possible thing that could happen to anybody. And I would not, I'm not providing an opinion now on whether he has or he hasn't. I suppose all I'm saying is my personal experience when I was a child of meeting him was that he was very, very childlike. And I did kind of think at the time when he was accused all those years ago and he went through the trial, why was he kind of ill-advised by people to kind of... by his management to actually have children stay in his house? Because I just felt that that was really because I felt he was like a child in his mind, that it was really poor advice on their part, because, you know, to let him do that, because obviously there was going to be accusations made of somebody who's such a global superstar.
Yeah. So, I hear, if I could say, Mally, the conflict in what you're saying, because you have had this happy memory of him and you know you're a fan, and you know he was kind to you when you were 13, and you were probably, I think it must be fair to say, he was huge. You must have been starstruck. There could be no other way to have met somebody of that sort of stature on a global stage to not be. But I have never met Michael Jackson, and I have no relationship with him, and I know no more than you do what happened or didn't happen. But I'm interested in your saying, well, that they should have advised him not to, except for if it was the case that he was insistent that the children did stay and there was nothing to do with, you know what I mean? And that seems more likely. I would have thought people would have advised him not to, and therefore it was his choice or indeed his demand that they stayed.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. When I look back then, when he was acquitted then, you know, because he was acquitted, and these are allegations that have not been confirmed. Do you know that kind of,
true.
I know there, it's horrific, and I know
one of his court cases collapsed, though, because the child offered to identify, I'm conscious of the time of the day, but identified anatomical features on his genitals, and the court ordered that he would have his genitals photographed to confirm or deny it. And what actually happened then was they settled out of court. They paid money. So there has also I'm looking at I've got to open on my desktop all the reports of child pornography that have been reported that were found, images of sexualized images of children in his home. It's very hard not to.
There are like two sides, and like child abuse is a very emotive issue.
What is the other side, though? Just that he hasn't been convicted. Is that the other side?
Well, no. I mean, I'm not here to present the other side. I'm just here to talk about, because I really don't like. At the end of the day, I work with people every day, and I don't like. I'm not here to present the other side. I'm just here to, and I mean, if you look online, there are plenty of other sides in terms of, you know, like.
Macaulay Culkin.
Just kind of question marks about these boys having testified before, and you know, there's a lot of other sides to it, but I'm not here to say what the other side is or to say whether he did or he didn't. I'm just here to say
that
he was very kind of
childlike,
yeah. And that he was very like I saw him as being a very kind human being that I spent a day with, that he spend time with us, and I didn't feel in any way that he was creepy or weird.
Yeah.
And that is that's just my sense of him when I was that age.
And no one can take that lived experience you had away. I do think, based on the testimony that has been levelled against him, you're the wrong gender and you're a little bit old as well. But you know, we don't know and we can't know. But you are a clinical psychologist. You are somebody who has worked with children. Is it not the case that it is quite common that people who are predatory sexually towards children do find ways to gain access? They work as scouts.
Oh,
they work
absolutely.
as swimming instructors. They look at Jimmy Savile. Jimmy Savile was a playful man who would get down on his knees with children and play on the telly on Jim Will Fix It, and everyone thought he was wonderful. And he was a serial abuser, and he was often described as, you know, really good with kids, so playful, so fun, so almost childlike in a way as well. Also a peculiar man, in the same way I think Michael Jackson is obviously a peculiar man. But I don't know either, but I believed those boys. I think what they said was credible.
Mm. I mean, that's your opinion, and that's fair enough. And like, you know, obviously, like, you know, my heart goes out to people who have been abused.
Yeah, no, I know.
For anything that has happened to people. And yes, grooming happens and abuse happens, and it's absolutely horrific. I suppose when I'm talking about him as childlike, I really kind of felt like he didn't have a childhood, and so like that he it was almost like talking to a child, you know, like talking to a child who didn't have the prefrontal cortex, higher brain reasoning.
I know this is a really hard question, Mally, and I know it is, and I know how much integrity you have around all of these things, because I know you of old. But that was Mally, age 13, who met him and thought he was childlike and thought he was kind and fun and had an amazing day. Probably a standout moment in your own childhood was going to Neverland. Do you think if you met Michael Jackson as he was then, now as an adult, would you view him in the exact same way? Would you, with all your critical faculties, if you met a man who was behaving in that childlike fashion as an adult, would you find it peculiar?
I mean, yeah, I mean, for sure he is a peculiar person. Yeah, I would. But I just don't know if I can. It's just really hard. Mm. I suppose when you're thinking of a childhood memory and something that was just like, I really, truly believed that he was if he was an actor, he was the best actor in the world.
He was an incredible performer, and he did act. He was in The Wiz. He was in loads. He was a really good actor.
No, I know that, but I still think that there's, you know, there can be so much to be gained from making accusations against somebody who has such stardom. So, like, I just can't say yay or nay. All I can say is what my experience was, and that for people who have been. Abused. It's absolutely horrific.
Can I ask
and my
you,
heart goes out to
lastly,
him.
You, I'm sure you were a fan, and especially because you had that connection with him. And I'm not trying to undermine that. I understand that must have been. I can only imagine if I was 13 and I went to Neverland, I would have been starstruck and thought it was incredible. And all, like, the same as if I went to Graceland or any, you know, if you meet anybody with that huge mantle of power, that aura of fame, it's a very strange thing, but will you still listen to his music?
Oh, I mean, I don't know. I think he's probably, his music is probably, he's one of the best artists of all time.
For sure.
So I can't, like, you know, I wouldn't stop. I can't stop listening to his music. It's not that I listen to it all the time, but I just think, like, my daughter recently performed in a kind of a musical called The Wiz, and yeah, all of that is based on that Motown kind of music.
Yeah.
And
Michael Jackson was in The Wiz.
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of, like, it's very hard. And it's not to say that, you know, if he was living now, that I'd let my kids, you know, go and spend the day with him. I don't know whether I would, I probably wouldn't make that choice for my child, you know?
Yeah.
But it's just, yeah, I mean,
Isn't it interesting, and I can feel your conflict, but isn't it interesting, if there was any other man who wasn't Michael Jackson, who had so many allegations of sexual misconduct against children made towards him, you probably wouldn't even consider letting your children near them. You just err on the side of caution, of safety. You'd
yeah,
go, no,
I think
no, no.
I'd err on the side of caution anyway. Do you know, in this situation anyway? Like, do you know, like, I mean, we were supervised, like, there were adults around us, you know, it wasn't like we were totally on our own and we didn't sleep over or anything like that. Do you know, it's just, the sense I got from him was that he was a kind man. Now, maybe I'm a bad judge of people at that age, you know, when you're 13, but we did spend a good bit of time talking to him and with him and playing with him and having a nice time with him. And I suppose I don't want anything to taint my memory.
No,
but,
I understand, and I think you're every super fan he has, you know, you don't want that. And I understand. But just when you say he's a kind man, is it not the case, though, that there are lots of abusers who exhibit kindness? I remember years ago meeting somebody myself who had been convicted, and they came across as a very gentle, kind person. But I knew that they had had convictions of child sexual abuse against them. I met them through a professional role I had at the time. But they didn't come across like some kind of a monster. They were very softly spoken and gentle.
I've done personality tests with people who have abused, and they are, you know, you can check on the personality test. They're malingering. In other words, they're coming across in a particular way. And if you ask them the same question twice, they'll actually answer it in a different way, just to appear, you know, to appear kind of likable. I know all of the psychological dynamics behind that, but I suppose it's just like I didn't come on here to judge.
Talk
about my
experience. It's really interesting, everything you've said, but both from your own experience as a child meeting him and how kind he was and how likable and how special that time was. And I hear that from you, but also in your current professional role, I know you have a different set of critical faculties that maybe, you know, are being challenged on all of this. But thank you, Mally. Thank you for speaking to us. I think that's a very, very interesting insight into all of that. Thank you. We've loads of people texting. Someone says, Ciara, I turned off the radio anytime a Michael Jackson song has come on for years. Why are people only copping on now? Well, I suppose Leaving Neverland is airing last night and tonight. Someone says, PC Snowflake Ryan Tuberty jumping on the bandwagon. I don't believe a word. He's dead and can't defend himself. Why didn't they come forward when he was alive? In fairness, lots of people did make allegations when he was alive. And I don't think Ryan Tuberty is jumping on any bandwagon. He's saying he's not comfortable. And I think he's entitled to say that, playing the music anymore. And to be honest, I think he's kind of right. Michael Jackson, sorry, but why did a mother let her son spend that amount of time in a bedroom with Michael Jackson? My blood boils. She had a duty of care. My heart is kind of broken for the parents. I don't think they saw this. I don't think they saw this coming. And I think a bit like Mally there, they saw him as a kind man who was childlike and liked children a lot and was kind of a peer to their children. I think there's an awful lot in this. And someone says, I'm so confused. Why would parents allow two young boys to stay alone with Michael Jackson? I didn't see the documentary, but I don't understand it. You heard Mally, and so many people are defending him here on the text line too, going, Michael Jackson's a wonderful man, childlike, didn't have a childhood, child probably abused himself. All of that is there. Justin, one of our listeners, is on the line. Justin, what do you think about this?
Okay, so this is nothing about Michael Jackson not having a childhood. This is about facts, okay?
Yeah.
So Wade Robson and James Safechuck, okay, have had 5 years, right, of changing their stories towards this documentary, okay? They wrote the narrative, and in my opinion, they wrote the narrative in a timely fashion, hijacking the Me Too movement that's around right now with the likes of R. Kelly and Harvey Weinstein, okay?
Yeah.
I think what's missing in a lot of media coverage is facts. For example, when we talked about earlier Michael Jackson's genitalia, that was contradicted when the autopsy results came out. Thank God for that. So there's reports from 93 and then there's the autopsy results. There was never any child pornography found in Neverland, because if there was, he wouldn't have seen the light of day past jail, to be honest with you. There was no evidence found. The FBI spent 10 years on this guy. 10 years. This is not a criminal mastermind. I'm a fan, okay? And I can tell you now, right, this guy is, and I can say this being a fan, he has let himself in the most stupid and naive situations that has... He has kind of let himself down this path, I'll be the force, but all in his innocent eyes, because at the end of the day, right, James Safechuck and Wade Robson can change the story five times over the last few years.
Yeah.
Not claim it's about money, though, not claim it's about money, but they have continued lawsuits gone after the estate, right? When that fails, they now hijack a documentary. Wade Robson, who I met in 2009, I met him in Los Angeles at Michael Jackson's This Is It world premiere.
I knew him,
and I approached him, and I said to him, I said, Wade, first of all, can I get a picture? You know, I love all the work you've done with the likes of Britney and NSYNC
and all the rest.
And I got to talk to him about MJ, and he had absolutely nothing but love and admiration for that man, as you would see in that documentary,
I hear the passion in what you're saying. You're obviously a fan, and I'm not knocking that, because I actually think it's very difficult for people who are big Michael Jackson fans to hear this and to listen to this. But I'm looking at the Independent UK newspaper. I have it open in front of me. Michael Jackson, police reports show Michael Jackson kept photos of naked children and child pornography stashed at the Neverland Rash. Records show police documents from 2003 were used in a trial where the singer was acquitted. So that's police reports and newspapers. So there was, allegedly, according to police reports and according to widely reported, in these aren't weird conspiracy theory places. This is the Independent UK massive news website saying child pornography there. And just hear me out for 1 second. And I'm not having a go at you because you've done nothing.
You've not done nothing.
But we know that people who have been abused often take years to face up to their abuse themselves. So they often are in denial about it to a certain extent. And we know when people have been groomed, we know this, that they sometimes protect the person who has groomed them, because that's what grooming does. They think that they're loved. They believe, even though they're 7 and he's 35, that they're having a relationship of two people in love. And they've been led to believe that by an adult, because they're only children themselves. Like, it isn't true that people who are abused only ever tell a consistent story from childhood to adulthood. They often go all over the place on their own journey. And it isn't true that people who have been groomed always go for the person who groomed them. Sometimes they protect them. Like, we actually know those things. So those things don't really undermine what the lads were saying on the documentary. And I feel, from what I've read and from what I've seen, that there is a terrible credibility to these young men, and I'm kind of heartbroken for them.
In terms of terrible credibility, in what sense?
I mean, when you listen to them, it is very hard, if you aren't maybe a diehard Jackson fan, not to believe them. I believe them, and when I hear what they say, no, I wasn't there. I wasn't in the bedroom that allegedly had sensors up the corridor all the way to the door to be able to alert people if people were coming. I wasn't in the jewellery shop where he bought the ring for the boy and told him that he was marrying him. I wasn't there. I don't know anything. But part of me doesn't really believe the myth that there is Peter Pan-like adults that just want to be pals with children. Part of me doesn't really believe that. Part of me thinks that a man who has child porn in his house and is sleeping with young boys is not Peter Pan. He is something much more sinister.
Michael Jackson did not have child porn in his house.
Even though it's been reported in all the media that he had.
I glued court transcripts. I'm glued to everything. I'm a father, okay?
Yeah.
If I thought for 1 second that Michael Jackson was guilty or anything, for example, a videotape comes out about R. Kelly, okay? If a videotape comes out tomorrow about Michael Jackson, my relationship or my associate with him ends.
I know.
There is no evidence towards this man.
Can I ask you one last question?
Yeah.
One last question. You are a dad yourself. Do you have little boys, little girls?
I have two boys.
Two boys.
Who love MJ.
Yep. And listen, come here, you couldn't, like, beat it, you know what I mean? Like some of the best songs of all time have been sung and written and danced to by Michael Jackson. I won't argue with you on that.
Yeah.
In your heart of hearts, right, suppose Michael Jackson was still alive, would you let your boys stay with him?
I wouldn't let them stay my boys with any strange adult. So that's, I'm not, like, that's
fair
up
enough.
To parental discretion. That's up to parental discretion. So any
but you,
adult.
You wouldn't allow them to stay with him, though?
I would not allow my boys to stay with any adults.
Okay. All right. Look, all right. Justin, I'm not having a go at Michael Jackson fans who have done nothing but actually enjoy his music, and his music is stand out.
It's just facts, though. There's a lack of facts that's happening here. Like, everyone talks about 1993, the payoff, and then they jumped straight to Wade Robson. But everybody misses that acquittal. This guy went to the dance. There were 13 counts against him. It was the most embarrassing court case that anyone ever had to go through. He was acquitted. This guy has everyone knows the accusation's history. There was a gun against his head. He was ready to be taken down. There was no evidence that stacked up in 2005.
Okay.
And when you talk about Jimmy Savile was never brought down to court. MJ did it. Everybody, we have walked this man into court, and the justice system have let him on 13 counts.
Okay. Look, I hear you, Justin, and I'm not arguing with you because you haven't done a thing wrong, and there's nothing other than you're obviously a massive Michael Jackson fan, and I understand that this is actually very challenging for Michael Jackson fans because people actually love him as an artist, and I know that. Thank you for coming on and speaking to me. So many people texting. Someone says, Ciara, I am a huge Michael Jackson fan. He is an icon. Off the Wall and Thriller are two of my favourite albums of all time. But after watching last night, I feel sick. He was such an obvious sexual predator, and nothing differentiates him from Cosby or Kelly or Savile. I will be sad not to listen to his music anymore, but my sadness is nothing compared to that of his victims. Going to take a short break. 53106. Let me know what you all think. Are you going to keep listening? Do you kind of, I don't know, cringe in some way now when you hear the songs, or do you have a different view? I really want to know what you think.